And be heard, you are now seconds away from listening to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out in podcast land. Thank you for joining me this week. You are now listening to The Paranormal Patriot. And this week, I do not have my tinfoil hat on. Why? Because it's October. October is the month. October is an exciting time around The Paranormal Patriot. Why? Because the veil between the spirit realm in the earthly realm, is thinning. So therefore, there will be no conspiracies. There will absolutely be no politics. Unless, God forbid, something ground-shaking, earth-shattering happens. But this is the month for the paranormal. In last year, actually the last 2 years, I've had this grand scheme of having this whole month of paranormal. And it turns into two shows of maybe some paranormal, and then I have to take a couple weeks off because we're getting ready for the huge Halloween party that we've been having every year for the last couple years. Well, this year, we are on a roll. We have so many other people helping us set up for this Halloween party. What normally takes us 6 to 8 weekends, I mean nonstop, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, all day, setting up for this, we are like 3 weeks ahead of the game now. So it appears my grand scheme this week, or this month, where we talk about the paranormal, we talk about Halloween, it may come to fruition. It absolutely may. So, crossing my fingers, not guaranteeing anything, because last year I guaranteed it, and it turned into a nightmare. To be honest with you, last year, our party, we were setting up for the party. The party started at 5 on a Saturday. We were setting up at 4 o'clock, we were still setting up for this party on the day of the party. So that does not appear to be happening this year. It is such a relief. It has given me so much more free time. Thank you for everybody that's listening that has helped out with the party. But I'm excited about this month. This week's show, we're going to talk about October real briefly, what October really means. And then we're going to get into the history in the odd history, I guess it would be, of Halloween. Where did it start? How did it start? How did it evolve into what it is today? Because if you don't know, it's a very interesting story. And then for the rest of the month, I'm going to go over some Halloween monsters, some paranormal monsters. I did it last year with, I think, werewolves or vampires. I can't remember. We're just going to talk paranormal. I want my listener encounters this month. If you haven't given me your listener encounters, give them to me. This is the month. Give me a Halloween story, a great Halloween story. It doesn't even have to be paranormal. Halloween, you think about it, as a kid, I always talk to my wife and our friends, and I tell my kids, you don't know what Halloween is. When I was growing up, and I grew up in the 80s when I would trick-or-treat around the neighborhood, we didn't have essentially a curfew. There was a, hey, you should probably start at this time and you should probably end at this time. But honestly, everybody in the neighborhood and everywhere else we went, you knew they were done when they turned off their light because they ran out of candy. We would take pillowcases and fill them full of candy. And we would be gone for hours and hours on end. And we would just go through our neighborhood, of course, but we'd go through other neighborhoods, and we would run and walk on Halloween night at least 3 miles just to get the goods. Now, today, the kids, they don't want to do it. Now, here in Michigan, where I am, the last couple Halloweens have rained like cats and dogs, and they've been cold as all get out. But it didn't matter. I remember when I was a kid trick-or-treating in snow. It was snowing, and we didn't care. And keep in mind, when I was trick-or-treating, we didn't have the cool costumes. We had a plastic mask that you put around your head with a rubber band that tore the hair out of your head when you took it off, and it gave you two little eye slits that you could barely see out of, a little slit for the mouth, and two little holes that you could breathe out of. They were uncomfortable as all get out, but you know what? We didn't care. Absolutely did not care, because I was He-Man. My friend was Skeletor, and we were going to rock that neighborhood out and take all its candy. And we did. We didn't cause any trouble. We went and we trick-or-treated, and we went to every house, every single house we went to. And we made out like bandits. It would be that summer and I would still have Halloween candy because we had so much. The kids now, they don't understand it. They go to a couple houses, they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're not. You have no candy in that bag. That is for me. You better get your butt out there and keep going. It is like pulling teeth to get these kids to go trick-or-treating. And I want to go over how we got to that point. We are going to. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and I want to go over some of the comments that I asked on last week's show about the alternative, the parallel universe, and time travel. I received a ton of comments, and I was actually very surprised at some of the comments. I asked the question, if you had the opportunity, knowing that you have a parallel universe, that there's another you, would you go into that universe? If you knew that person was rich, famous, whatever, would you leave what you have here and go to that universe? And the responses absolutely shocked me. So sit back, relax, open that mind, because you're going to be in for a whale of a show this whole month. The shows are going to be great. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I don't have a tinfoil hat on today. It's kind of uplifting. We'll be right back.
Said you were looking for some kind of closure. Never gonna find it here. Can you read the atmosphere? I'm not looking for any excuses for you to come over. Trying to think of what it is that could have gotten you like this. But I'm in love with the way that you say my name when you're talking about how we could have been lovers. How could I have ever thought this? Coming back to the start, we ain't told me apart. My friends all told me that I should have known better than to let you break me. Cause I don't even need your love.
From the days of French settlers and the ghouls who tormented them, to the grim realities of early factories and their gruesome death tolls, Detroit is a town with a devilishly scary past. Its citizens have long straddled the line between good and evil, and more than a few rules have been broken over the years. As Halloween approaches, we can all spare a nervous glance towards Detroit's darker side. It's never wise to travel alone through the storied corridors of history, so there are some that are willing to offer themselves as your guides on a macabre journey through the Motor City's darkest historical moments. While on the tour, learn about Detroit's ghosts, learn about their cemeteries, murders, pranks, Detroit's infamous Devil's Night, assassinations, hauntings, the cholera outbreak, unexplained disappearances. Be ready for the tricks and the treats that await you on the all-new Haunted Detroit, The Dark Side of History Tour. Look them up on Facebook at Haunted Detroit, The Dark Side of History Tour. For tickets, go to www.detroithistorytours.com. Join me Saturday, October 19th, from 12 to 5, starting off at the Coolidge Inn Bar, 1267 Coolidge Highway in River Rouge, Michigan, for the all-new Haunted Detroit, the Dark Side of History Tour. And when you get there, tell them you heard about this tour on the Paranormal Patriot.
A few old records in my ripped up jeans to match my heart in this tragedy. Holding on to any part of me that was once convicted.
Alrighty, so before we get into the excitement that is the month of October on the Paranormal Patriot, I wanted to go over and give you, my listeners, the responses that a lot of you gave me on the question I posed to you last week. Now, if you didn't listen, shame on you, but if you didn't listen, here's what the question was. Let's just say parallel universes have been definitively proven by science. We know they're there. We may or may not be able to interact with them, but we know they're there. So with a parallel universe, there's another you. And that other you is wealthy, famous, has the world by the horns, has everything we've ever wanted in this universe. I posed the question that was, would you give up everything you had in this universe? Your mother, your father, brothers, sisters, friends, wife, kids, everything you have and hold dear in this universe. Would you give it up to go over to that other universe and swap places to the point that you will never, ever be able to come back here, but you will have the life you've always wanted? Now, going into that, as I was posing that question last week, In my mind, I thought, yeah, I know how the answers are going to go here. And I don't think I ever gave my answer. So here's my answer. I am trying to be rich and famous. I'm on the music scene. I'm doing a podcast for 7 years. Nothing seems to work, but oh well, I'm enjoying myself. I look over and there's another me that is living the lap of luxury, traveling around the world. Everybody loves them. And I look and I say, wow, I can have that. This is what I've been looking for in this life. And then I think, I can't do it. I couldn't give up my wife. I couldn't give up my kids. I couldn't give up my family. I couldn't give up my friends. I will struggle through this life. And I'm not going to say my life is horrible here, but it's definitely not a celebrity life. You know, we are essentially living paycheck to paycheck like most people are. It's gotten a little better since my new job, but it's by no means living the lap of luxury. But as I'm asking this question to all of my listeners, in my head, I'm saying there's no way I can do it. And honestly, to be completely honest with you, I thought that's how most of my listeners would respond. And I went through all my emails that I get. And if you want to email me, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net for anything. I mean, just say hi. Hey, like the show, hate the show, whatever. But I counted 96 emails regarding this topic. And out of that 96, 60 said they would never, ever dream of leaving the life they have here. And what that tells me is life is not about wealth. It's not about being famous. It's not about everybody being well known. Life is about being loved and loving. And I think we've lost that down the road. But what I was really surprised with was 36 people commented and said, oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely no doubt in my mind, I would swap over and live that life I've always wanted to live. Now, some of these people, they didn't give their background stories. They didn't say whether they had a wife, a bunch of kids, or anything like that. But there are, I think I counted out of the 30, I think I counted 17 that did give information about, hey, Tom, I'm married with a wife. I have 3 kids. I'd do it. No disrespect to the people that would do that. But, man, I couldn't do it. Now, there's one person, Julia in Colorado. She made a good point, because that's not a something I mentioned when I mentioned this question. She said, okay, before I answer this question, Tom, I have to know. If I move to this parallel universe where I am almighty, essentially, will I remember my kids? Will I remember my mother and father? Will I remember my husband? Because if I will, the answer is a definitive no. I hold my family as the closest thing to me. I would never leave them knowingly. But if I can move over there and have no recollection of them, then maybe I would. That was, to be honest with you, for the people that would switch over, the minority. Most people that said they would be like, whatever, I'm there. I want the fame, I want the fortune, I want the glory. And I love my listeners, and thank you for everybody answering the question. But to me, that is definitive proof of what is wrong with this world today. We don't hold our family, our friends, love in general, the love we receive from them, the love we give them. We don't hold that as sacred anymore. What is sacred is fame, wealth, glory. The majority of the people said they wouldn't do it, and I applaud you. I couldn't do it. I really couldn't. You know, regardless of what's happening here, you know, I've been dealt a bad hand. My wife has been dealt a bad hand. She's got cancer. We can't cure her cancer. It's there. It's not going to go into remission. It's too far advanced. But, you know, she's fighting this like there's no tomorrow, and she's doing very well, thank you. I wouldn't change it, because I wouldn't change the experiences that I've had in this life, because it's made me who I am. I am a better person because I married my wife. I'm a better person because I had my kids. I'm a better person because of the family I grew up in. How do I know the other me isn't a pretentious asshole? Honestly, you don't know. I don't want to be that guy. That's not who I am. Who I am is a hardworking father, husband, son that loves his family and would do anything for him. I wouldn't do it. I would be envious of the other me. I'll be honest with you, because look, I wouldn't be on the airways every week. I wouldn't be producing music and making music with my brother if I didn't want to be famous. But in a way, me being on the airways every week doing this podcast and making music and producing music is an outlet. It's a way to expand my creativity. As a Scorpio, Scorpios are very creative. And I fall into that category big time. I have got so many things stirring in that pot. I've got this podcast. I've got the music. I have like four or five books that are half done, three quarters done, a quarter done that I'm writing that may or may not ever get finished. But it's just an outlet to my creativity, because all this creativity I have, it sits inside of me and it just swells up and it just wants to burst out. And so I have to write, I have to produce, I have to do this show. That is how I expound on my creativity. That's how I release it, is to do this podcast, is to make music, is to produce music that probably will never go anywhere. But you know what? In my kids' eyes, I'm famous. I have a pretty successful podcast that thousands and thousands of people listen to every week. I have music on Spotify. They can look up 21 Pilots. They can look up Michael Jackson. They can look up Prince. But they can also look up multiple myselfs and Tommy V. To them, it's all the same. I'm famous. As long as my wife and my kids and my family look at me as a good person that cares and loves them and receives love from them, I don't need to go into that parallel universe. I've got everything I need right here. Now, some of you may think differently, and that's fine. Everybody's got their own opinion, and I'm good with that. I envy you. If you can just drop everything you have over here and go live the life you want, God, I envy you. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I have too much vested in this life to just throw it away. Because what do I know? What if I swap places with the guy, me, in the opposite universe, in the parallel universe, and he comes over here and it's kind of like wife swap or something like that that you used to see on TV. But it's permanent. And the guy that comes over here is a complete jerk. And he has no idea how to treat my wife. He has no idea how to treat my kids. He has no idea how to deal with my family. I don't want that. Even if I couldn't remember it, before I go, yep, I'm taking that chance, it'd be in my mind. I don't want that. I couldn't do it. And I think all the majority that said, nope, I will not change, I'm content in my life now. Some of you are very wealthy. Some of you are living your life right now. Most of us are doing what I'm doing, is for the most part living paycheck to paycheck, have a wife, a family, husband, a family. And we wouldn't change it for the world because this is who we are. And I'm content. Is my life perfect? Is your life perfect? Probably not. But this is our life. And we've made this life. And I want to see this life through. So when I'm on my deathbed and I'm ready to die, I can look back and say, I'm good. I did everything I could to make this life the best life I could. Because I can. I did. I have. I've worked hard. I've given my family what they needed to survive. Are we living in a mansion? Nope. But do they have food to eat? Do they have a roof over their head? Do they have friends that they can hang out with? Do they enjoy the finer things in life? Depends on what you describe as the finer things in life. In my family, the finer things in life are, every year we put on a very extravagant Halloween party. In the summer, they go camping all of the time. They don't go without. But the biggest thing is, they have an unconditional love for the mother and their father, and their grandmas and their grandpas and their aunts and uncles and cousins. And to me, the unconditional love and the nurturing that they have received over the years, that's more than any monetary value you can place on it. Because that's what life is about, is love. It's not about money. You know, I get up every day and I love my job, don't get me wrong. My new job is great. I love the people I work with. My boss is amazing. But I always think to myself, gosh, this is not what life is about. It's not about getting up early in the morning, going to work for the majority of the day, coming home, spending maybe a couple hours with your family, and then going to bed and doing it all over the next day. That's not what life is about. Life is about the camaraderie of friends. Life is about the love of your family. And we've lost that somewhere along the way. And we've turned it into, a successful life is a life that you are making tons of money and you have a lot of friends. I don't buy it. I think a successful life is a life where you have love surrounding you and you're giving love. Because love, in my eyes, is the most valuable commodity out there. It's greater than gold, silver, platinum, palladium, whatever precious metal you have. You could have all the gold in the world, but if you don't have anybody that loves you, you're empty. That's my thoughts. And I don't mean to disparage anybody that said, hey, I would do that in a heartbeat. I'd jump over there in a heartbeat. It's just my thoughts. All right. Enough of that. Let's start the month. We're going to take a quick break. Very, very quick break. I'm going to tell you about comingrightup.net. If you haven't heard, I'm on there every Wednesday, 4:30 to 5:30 Eastern Time. Do the math on your time zone, wherever you are. But you're going to hear about it right now. So sit right back. Relax. Open that mind because it is officially time to start
October Paranormal Month on the Paranormal Patriot.
We'll be right back.
There is a time when you need force, no resource for me to enforce. My right of speech, my lead me horse, I bear the torch. Let's march forth, July the 4th, we set the course for this independent outreach. You say free, but I feel the leash and I release the beast. Sick of the YouTube clips where the gun go click and the cop don't miss and the innocent man is dead in the whip and we got conflicts and the two don't mix and we all on the news just throwing fits and we lose our cool. Man, that's when reality hits and you get this shit, get away, I live.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Letters are twisted, fire behind the door, glass broken, shades are dancing over a dead bird. The basement is silent, it smells humidity and rats. But it doesn't bother me, I like to go down here when I was a kid.
Alrighty, listeners of the Paranormal Patriot, it is time. October is now upon us. And for those of us in the paranormal community, we know that when October arrives, the veil is thinning. You see, October is the month when the veil between the spirit world and our earthly realm is at its thinnest. It's the best time to communicate with those that have passed before us. The October full moon and Halloween or Samhain are when the veil is at its thinnest. Now you can literally feel the change in the air. In other words, if you feel a presence behind you, it may not be just your imagination. So what I wanted to do this October is do a full month of paranormal topics. Talk about ghosts. Talk about vampires, werewolves. But I thought it would be prudent for me to start at the ancient origins of Halloween. Now, we all know Halloween is an annual holiday that is celebrated on October 31st. Now, there is a drive out there to change it to the last Saturday of October, which, whatever. It doesn't take away. For those of us in the paranormal community, it doesn't take away the magic and the mystique of October. Some of my most infamous, most exciting ghost hunts happened in October. When we went to Dice Road Cemetery, the veil was thinning at that time, and I believe that allowed us to see more than what we would have done, in, let's say, in July, when the weather was nice. In Michigan in October, it gets pretty cold at night. We decided to go out because the veil was thinning, and we were not disappointed. This year, Halloween occurs on Thursday, October 31st. Now, Halloween, it originated with an ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. Now, that is when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. Now, it was in the 8th century when Pope Gregory III, he designated November 1st, my birthday, as a time to honor All Saints. So November 1st to this day is All Saints Day. I was born on November 1st. The story goes my mom refused to have a baby born on Halloween. So she held out. How you can hold out is beyond me, but she says she did. She held out till November 1st. So that makes me a saint, right? St. Thomas? Maybe? No? Okay. St. Thomas, the paranormal patriot. Anyway, November 1st is a time to honor All Saints. Now, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve, which later was changed to Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, like my party, donning costumes, and eating sweet treats. Now, let's go back to the ancient origins of Halloween. Halloween's origins can date back to the ancient, as I said, the ancient festival of Samhain. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in an area that is now Ireland and the United Kingdom and northern France, celebrated their New Year on November 1st. Happy birthday to me, New Year. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of the year that was often associated with human death. 2,000 years ago, people died at that time. The Celts believed that on the night before the New Year, the boundary before the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, which was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to the earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, the Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids, or the Celtic priest, to make predictions about the future. For a people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important part of the comfort and direction that they would have during the long, dark winter. Now, to commemorate this event, Druids built huge sacred bonfires where people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. During the celebration, the Celts wore costumes, typically consisting of animal heads and skins, gross, and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. Now, when the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier that evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. Now, by 43 AD, the Roman Empire, they had conquered the majority of Celtic territory. In the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, a day in late October where the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second day was to honor Pomona, a Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of the celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced even today. Now, on May 13th, 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon in Rome in honor of all the Christian martyrs, and the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs' Day was established in the Western Church. Pope Gregory III later expanded the festival to include all saints as well as all martyrs, and moved the observance from May 13th to November 1st. Happy birthday to me. By the 9th century, the influence of Christianity had spread into the Celtic lands, where it gradually blended with and supplanted older Celtic rites. In 1000 AD, the church made November 2nd All Saints Day, a day to honor the dead. It is widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Festival of the Dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. All Souls Day was celebrating similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. The All Saints Day celebration was also called All Hallows, All Hallow Mass, which means Halloween. The tradition night of Samhain in the Celtic tradition religion began to be called All Hallows Eve and eventually Halloween. So now we move to Halloween in America. The celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in colonial New England because of the rigid Protestant belief systems there. Halloween was much more common in Maryland in the southern colonies. As the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups and the American Indians meshed, a distinctly American version of Halloween began to emerge. The first celebrations included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. Now, this sounds like this is part of the Celtic religion, the Celtic belief of Samhain. Colonial Halloween festivities also included the telling of ghost stories and mischief-making of all kinds. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivals were common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country. In the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. These new immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing the Irish potato famine, helped to popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. So, for all of my Irish listeners, thank you for bringing Halloween to America. Now, borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, which is a practice that eventually became known as today's trick-or-treat tradition. Young women believed that on Halloween they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple parings, or mirrors. In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts, pranks, and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focused on games, foods of the season, and festive costumes were common in that time in the late 1800s. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening or grotesque out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. Now, by the 1920s and 1930s, Halloween had become a secular but community-centered holiday, with parades and town-wide Halloween parties as the featured entertainment. Despite the best efforts of many schools and communities, vandalism began to plague some celebrations in many communities during this time. During the 1950s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism and Halloween had evolved into a holiday directed mainly at the young. Due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s baby boom, parties moved from town civic centers into the classroom or home where they could be more easily accommodated. Now, Halloween, it has always been a holiday filled with mystery, magic, and superstition. It began as a Celtic end-of-summer festival during which most people felt especially close to deceased relatives and friends. Now, for these friendly spirits, they set places at the dinner table, left treats on the doorstep and alongside the road, and lit candles to help loved ones find their way back to the spirit world. Today's Halloween ghosts are often depicted as more fearsome and malevolent, and our customs and superstitions are scary too. In today's culture, we avoid crossing paths with black cats. We're afraid that they might bring us bad luck. This idea has roots into the Middle Ages, where many people believed that witches avoided detection by turning themselves into black cats. I've had a black cat. It was honestly one of the best cats I've ever had. It loved kisses. It was a friendly cat. That's just that is beyond a superstition. That is just ludicrous. Black cats do not have bad luck. We try not to walk under ladders for the same reason. Now, this superstition may have come from the ancient Egyptians, who believed that triangles were sacred. It also may have something to do with the fact that walking under a leaning ladder tends to be fairly unsafe, but around Halloween, we avoid trying to break mirrors, step on cracks in the road, or spilling salt. All of this is essentially superstition. Halloween is a day where we are to enjoy ourselves. We have a Halloween party every year at my house, and we enjoy. We have family and friends. Why do we do it? Because we enjoy having family and friends over and having a raucous good time. Halloween has transformed over the years. It has been a commemoration of the dead in the Celtic religion. It has been a commemoration of trying to avoid misfortune during the winter months. Because let's be honest, 2,000 years ago, when winter came, it was harsh on everyone. You couldn't grow crops. You had a hard time heating your household. So many people died during the winter months because of lack of food, lack of heat, lack of water. Whatever winter brought you was always dire. And it was Samhain, the Samhain festival that the Celtics brought out that was giving good vibes. People thought that during this time, the month of October, that the veil between the two worlds was thinning. And I'm a big believer in the veil. There is a veil. There's a curtain between the living and the dead side of things. Over the years of being a paranormal investigator, I have been on many, many paranormal ghost hunts. And I can honestly tell you, the month of October, the ghost hunts I've been on have been the most exciting and had the most evidence captured of any ghost hunts I've ever been on. The Dice Road Cemetery investigation in Freeland, Michigan. Tons of evidence. I mean, definitive proof that the spirits are there. The Traverse City Asylum investigation that I went on was in the middle of October, and that is when I saw literally a hand grasp the door jamb and a little ghostly head peek out. And I'm not saying there hasn't been other investigations during summer months and during early spring months that I have had no experiences, because that's not true. But it seems like October and early part of November is when that veil is the thinnest. Now, I'm a firm believer that the veil thins during this month. I've always felt that. I've always had a connection with October. And yes, I understand my birthday is November 1st, so as a kid, I was always anticipating my birthday, but there was more to it at that point. There's something about October that brings out the curiosity of everyone. And there's people that are never, ever involved in the paranormal that are involved in it now. And it could be because of all the Halloween movies, but I think there's more to it than that. I think because, and we'll call it the veil, we'll call it whatever we want, but whatever separates this earthly realm from the spiritual, the ghostly, the otherworldly side of things, it does thin at this time of year. Look around you. Even if you don't believe in the paranormal, look around you and ask yourself in October, and especially as we get into late October, are things happening, or am I seeing things that I normally don't see? And a lot of you will say, no, I haven't witnessed anything. I'm a firm believer that the more open you are to the paranormal, in other words, I've been open to the paranormal from a very, very young age. So therefore, I'm drawn to the paranormal. And in my opinion, the paranormal is drawn to me. And I can see things that most people don't see. And some people may call me crazy. Some people may call me a liar. Some people may say, oh, he's just looking for his own 15 minutes of fame, saying he saw something. I know what I saw. I'm a firm believer that give me proof. Give me definitive proof. If I've been on ghost hunts for all these years and I have never seen anything, I guarantee you I would have said, nope, it doesn't exist. If I've gone on sky watches and I haven't seen what I consider an unidentified flying object, I'd be like, no, they don't exist. I don't care what people say. But I've seen the UFOs and I've seen apparitions and I've seen things I cannot explain. Could they be natural formations? Of course they can. But if they are, Science hasn't determined what they are. There's a lot that goes on in our world. And I'm a true believer in alternate universes. And when you die, listen, we are full of energy. That's what we are. We are an energy ball encompassed in a shell of muscle and skin and blood. And when that fails, energy cannot be dissipated. Energy just transforms. I believe our energy transforms into either something else or just moves on. And that might be why religions say there's a heaven, because maybe we just continue to transform. A lot of people that are religious mock me and dissuade me from believing in my beliefs in the paranormal and aliens and ghosts and werewolves and vampires and witches and whatever you want to call it, because that doesn't fit in with their religious beliefs. There are a lot of religious people that listen to the show that believe in God. Again, I believe in a higher power, but there are so many, in my eyes, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, there are so many discrepancies in the Bible. It is a human-written construct, and a lot of people will say, and I've had this said to me before, well, it may have been human-written, but it was inspired by God. But there's so many discrepancies in there that, again, it's a great story. But there is no way we as human beings could be who we are without a creator. So who is our creator? Evolution was not our creator. The human eye dissuades or just totally dispels the theory of evolution. Human beings could not have evolved and survived without a bam, working eyeball right there. You think about it. I mean, honestly, clear your head, clear your mind and think about this. The human eye sees things upside down. So what you're looking at as you drive right now, if you're driving, you're looking at the highway, if you're in your house, whatever you're seeing at your house, our eye flips it around. And it's our brain that takes it right side. So is our world we live in upside down to what we're normally thinking it is? I mean, that's how my brain works. It's all about, you know, the whole evolution thing. We evolved from monkeys. If we evolved from monkeys, why do monkeys still exist? Why didn't they evolve with us? It's these things that pique my interest. We are an eternal being. Now, you can say we are angelic. You can say we are heavenly. Our goal is to, in our future goal, in our future destination is heaven, to reside with God and Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that believe that. And I believed that for the longest time until I started realizing that I don't know if that's necessarily true. Who is God? Is God this older, white-bearded entity who created us in our own image? Or is God the universe? Were we a bundle of energy that willed ourselves into existence? And this is who we are. Is there a greater life form out there that created us? And we are on a spiritual journey on the planes of spirituality. And we're on the third dimension right now. And if you listen to the masters, they say that there are, what, 7, 8 journeys? Are we on the third dimension? Are we stuck in this third dimension? Because we have lessons to learn, and we can't extend up to the fourth dimension until we learn these lessons. There are so many things that are unknown. We as humans think we know the answers to most everything. But how many times, I mean, literally during the course of a month, do we see a news article everything we knew about such and such has changed because we've learned something else. We know what we think we know. But what we think we know doesn't even scratch the surface of what reality is. I think there are some people out there that know what reality is, and those people are shunned, and those people are chastised for being off the beaten path, but maybe those are the people that we really need to listen to. Because honestly, what has religion brought us? Be it Christianity, Muslim, Buddhism, Judaism, what has religion brought us other than grief and war? Nothing. I mean, it's given some people a sense of hope, but, you know, these people that have cancer or have tragic family events and cling to God, everybody says, well, it's God's will. That's not a good answer to me. Every time I've had something bad happen in my life and somebody said, that's God's will. Well, if God was this ever peaceful, ever loving deity, why would he want to create ill will for me? I know I'm going to touch a lot of people's nerves on this, but let's be honest. I mean, we need to look at religion as a business at this point. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Look at religion in the aspect of actual spirituality. We are a spirit. We are a bunch of energy. Look at our brain. Our brain right now, as we're listening to this, is firing off electricity through the neurons in our brain. We are not just these mindless masses of meat. We're a living electrical being. And I believe that, and listen, energy cannot be dissipated. You can change energy, but energy will always remain. Energy cannot be stopped. Energy cannot be changed to a point that it no longer exists. Energy is always going to be there. We inside of us have energy. We are an energetic being. Some people call it our soul. But that's what we are. And you may not like what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is true. We are an energetic being. Now, you can call it, as the Christians do, as our spirit or our soul. And when people die, we mourn them because in the physical world that we live in, they're no longer there. But their energy continues to live on. And that's why I'm a firm believer of these hauntings, is because you can't get rid of the energy. The energy may change. It may move on somewhere else. But there is some energy that sticks around, and they may be able to manipulate their surroundings. They may be able to let us know they're there. They may be able to retract to their former form in this earthly realm. And that's where the ghosts come in. That's where Jared from Alabama, that's why I think what he was witnessing was a spirit that passed on, that was trying to manifest itself into a human shape that it resembled on this earthly plane. And it looked like snow on a TV because it was just drawing all this energy in because it needs more energy to replicate that human form. I mean, I know I'm going deep on this, but this is what I believe. I was a Christian for a long, long, long time. And I'm not saying God doesn't exist. I'm not saying that. To all my Christian followers out there, I'm not completely dispelling your notion that God is existing in our world today. What I'm saying is God is who we believe he is. God may be this long white-haired deity who created Jesus. Or he could be the universe, as we call it, a mass bundle of energy that is creating everything around us. Or God is our conscience. God is who we think we are. Or God is who we think he is, and we are who we think he is. In other words, we are manifesting this life right here. And if that's the case, it's a very uplifting thought, because if we are manifesting our life, in other words, we are a bundle of energy and we decided, I'm going to manifest on Earth and be what they call a human being. If that's the case, then we can manifest our future. And I'll be honest with you. Years ago, I started to believe that I can manifest my future. I can manifest who I am. I can manifest what happens. Did I manifest my wife getting cancer? No. But I manifested the family not having the financial struggles that we once did. And all of a sudden, as I started to believe that, it's kind of like affirmations. You start the day off with a good affirmation. You wake up in the morning, and before you get out of the bed, you start telling yourself, today's going to be a good day. I'm going to have a great day. And it changes your mindset. And what is your mind? Your mind is energy. Your mind is electrical energy. And you start telling yourself that every day in your mind, which is electrical, which is your soul, starts to believe that. And therefore, no matter what happens, you start looking at every day as a good day. And I started doing that. And my whole perspective has changed on life. I used to be a completely negative person. Completely negative. I mean, if anything good happened to me, I was waiting for the shoe to drop and, something happened great today, but lo and behold, I'm going to wait and see what happens tomorrow because I'm sure it's going to be crap. Then I changed my outlet. I changed the way I looked at things. And when a good day happens, I embrace it. When a bad day happens, I change my perspective on that bad day. I say, okay, what can I learn from this bad day? And it's changed my whole life, and that's where we are now. So for the religious aspects of Halloween, it's all religion. It's all beliefs. I've been to many houses when I was younger that they were devout Christians, and they had a picture of Jesus in the window, and they gave me these religious tract booklets instead of candy, which is fine. You can have your own religion. You can have your own beliefs, but don't dispel on mine. Don't dissuade mine. We all have our own mind. We all have free will. That's where we are on the show. How we got from Halloween to this, I will never know, but we did. So that'll be it this week. And I hope you enjoyed the origins of Halloween and how we got to where we are in America. Next week, we're going to begin the show about talking about the mystique of Halloween, how Halloween really was in America in the first part of the generation of this century in America, and how it evolved into what it is today. And then I'm going to talk to you about some of the mysterious monsters of Halloween. Are they Halloween concoctions, or are they legitimate beings in cryptids that have been brought over from the European cultures? We'll find out next week. So thanks for listening. I appreciate everybody listening. Share the show. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net with any questions, concerns, comments you have. Let me know about your Halloween experience when you were a kid. I want to hear about it. I want to talk to my listeners about it. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Again, once more, tell me your Halloween experiences when you were a kid. Bring back the memories. Let everyone hear those great memories you had when you were a kid and you were trick-or-treating. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. You have been listening to the fastest-growing parapolitical podcast out there in podcast land. No longer taking off the tinfoil hat this month. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be back next week. I'm just feeling-